Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Let's dive in prayer and dive into His Word. Amen. Come on. Dear God, thank you for today. God, thank you for another chance we get to come together as your daughters and sons, to hear your word, to be led by your spirit, to have revelation and truth and your love in our lives through your word. God, I pray that I would decrease and you would increase. Holy Spirit, come, open our eyes and ears, hearts and minds to the words of wisdom, the words of encouragement, the words of challenge, and the words of grace and love and truth that you have for your people today. I pray this in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. All right, so we are in Daniel chapter 9 today. So this past few weeks of our soaping, right, we've been diving deeper into our Teach Me to Pray series. We're learning these points, right, these action points in our Sunday message series, Teach Me to Pray, going through the Lord's Prayer together. And so then during the week, we're putting these things not only into practice, but we're seeing how this theme of prayer is woven throughout the Bible. Amen? And today's no different. So we're diving in today to Daniel chapter 9. I'll be reading at the NIV, New International Version. And appropriately, it's entitled Daniel's Prayer. So, all right. Verse 1. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and have keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and their ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries we have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. We and our kings, our princes and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing on us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster on us. For the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does. Yet we have not obeyed him. Now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of Israel with a mighty hand, and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned. We have done wrong. Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our ancestors have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. This next portion is entitled The 70 Sevens, verse 20. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of all my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. Know and understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One, the Ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the Anointed One will be put to death and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 seven. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And at the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. Amen to God's word. Whew, all right. So, a lot to dig into here, right? Let's go ahead and grab a sip of water. If you need to, grab a little stretch. Reach up. And let's dive in. So, we are jumping in here. Again, chapter 9 of Daniel. And this starts taking place around 539 to 538 BC. So this is right after the fall of the Babylonian Empire to the Persians under Cyrus the Great, who was ruling the Persians at the time. And this period marks the end of the Babylonian Empire, which is at that point the largest empire of the world, and actually marked a transition where the Persian Empire gained control and power worldwide. And at this point, the Jewish people had been in exile in Babylon since the destruction of Jerusalem and the first temple by King Nebuchadnezzar almost 50 years earlier in 586 BC. And during that time, if you remember, that's actually when many Jews, including Daniel, were deported from their homes, from their region of Jerusalem, and brought to the king's palace, right? And Daniel and his friends were risen up. They were trained in the Babylonian culture. And Daniel actually became the third highest administrator in the king's palace under the previous king, Caleb Belshazzar, who was a Babylonian king who in Daniel 5 was actually in control and was actually killed there in the palace when King Darius the Mede took over. And Daniel was part of his cabinet. Daniel was actually there in the palace that time. He actually prophesied the king's murder in Daniel chapter 5. So he was there when all this violence happened, right? So when Daniel is reading the scripture, he's seeing what's happening. He's seeing this shift, right, in the cultural and the world powers. There was actually hope at this time. This exile was a time of deep crisis and theological reflection for the Jewish people while they were sent in Babylon. And so when you see all this happening, you see the fall of the Babylonian Empire, it actually brought renewed hope for them that maybe things would change for them as well. And so Daniel here, he's actually known as a man of prayer throughout the book of Daniel, right? He was actually thrown into the lion's den for praying under King Darius. And then actually because of God saving him through that situation, through the lion's den, King Darius actually issued a decree for people to fear and re for fear and reverence to the God of Daniel in the book and Daniel 6. And so we're seeing here how being living out a prayerful life impacts others, right? And not only was he a man of prayer, he was also known for having visions and dreams and being able to interpret them. And that's how he got to be well known within the king's palace, got risen up as an administrator because of his ability to read and interpret dreams and visions. We actually read a couple in chapter 7 and 8 of Daniel. So here in chapter 9, we see in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet. So in this case, we know he's a man of prayer, right? We know he's a man of visions and dreams. And we're reading here in verse 2 how Daniel understood from the scriptures according to the word of the Lord. He's not getting this revelation by a dream or a vision this time. This time he's digging into God's word. This time this revelation is coming to him in this chapter just from reading the scriptures, from reading and meditating on God's word, which gives me some peace, right? Because maybe we don't have a spiritual gift of dreams or visions. Maybe we don't have this gift to interpret dreams, right? But we all have a gift of God's word, right? We all have a gift of God's word in our lives, in our books, in our pages, on our phones, on our screens, right? So you don't have to have some big spiritual gift for God to speak to you. Amen. And that's the power of prayer, as we see go on here. And so Jeremiah he's reading the words from the scriptures according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet. And this actually refers to two prophecies of Jeremiah. One is Jeremiah 25, verse 11 through 13, where Jeremiah wrote, "This whole country will become desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. When the 70 years are fulfilled, I will punish the king of Babylon and his nation, the land of the Babylonians, for their guilt," declares the Lord. "And I will make it desolate forever. I will bring on that land all the things I have spoken against it, all that are written in this book and prophesied by Jeremiah against all the nations." And so Daniel's reading this. He sees this came true. You know, he sees this prophecy from hundreds of years ago from Jeremiah that he's still reading, right? He's still reading these prophecies and he's seeing that he's living out a time now the prophecies are being fulfilled, right? And the second prophecy from Jeremiah, verse 29, or sorry, chapter 29, verse 10 to 14, Jeremiah wrote, "This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord. Now, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." I think it's so, it just blew my mind to think about this, that the same scriptures we're reading today are the same scriptures that Daniel read, right? Hundreds of years ago. Really, at this point, thousands of years ago, right? Daniel is reading the scriptures, and we're here we are today in 2025 AD, reading the same scriptures, still believing for God's promises, right? Because the God of Jeremiah, who spoke that word, is the same God of Daniel, the same God of us now. Amen. So anything we're reading here, anything that Daniel is reading, is the same God that we can believe in and trust in, right? His character hasn't changed from Jeremiah to Daniel to now. And so when we're reading this scriptures in Jeremiah, the same ones that Daniel read, we hear this hope for God's people, right? We hear this redemption story that he's working, he's weaving in all these details. We hear God's deep love and deep desire to rescue his people. Amen. But what does Daniel see and experience as he meditates on this more? We'll get to that in a second. But our first application question is, how could I not just join this Zoom or listen to this podcast or YouTube video for 30 minutes? But how can I really read, meditate, and pray through God's word throughout my day? Maybe it's listening to the Bible or a sermon or worship music in the car or at home or at the gym or at work on your lunch break. Maybe it's writing notes to yourself on sticky notes and placing them around your home and your bathroom, in your car and your office. Maybe it's having a screensaver on your phone or your laptop with God's word. The Bible app can send you notifications throughout the day. I have an iPhone, so actually, it's actually a widget on the iPhone where you can actually put the Bible app of the day on your lock screen. So I'll open my lock screen up. Today's Bible verse of the day is Isaiah 48, 40 verse 8. So I have that verse on my phone now. So whenever I, a couple hundred times a day, as we all do, we click through, open our phone, right? There's God's word. So it's constantly on my mind, right? So how can we really read, meditate, and pray through God's word throughout the day? Amen. So again, as we dive a little deeper here, we're reading about God's hope and redemption. What does Daniel see? What's Daniel's next step in this, right? Verse 4. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. So, at verse 3, I'm back even more, back verse 3. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting in sackcloth and ashes. I praised the Lord my God and confessed. So Daniel understands that to get to the hope, to get to the redemption, to get to the promise that the Lord has for him, for Israel, for us even, we first must come to repentance. And he's not just praying, right? He's pleading with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, in sackcloth and ashes. And as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, it's not just a one-time thing, right? It says in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. It's not just a one-time, oh, God help us, right? But fasting's over a period of time, right? If he's wearing sackcloth and ashes as a sign of grief and mourning in Jewish culture, he's not just putting this on and going to bed and getting changed when he gets up, right? He's wearing this. He's crying out to God over a period of time, right? Because Daniel knows that before we get to the Jeremiah 29:11, we all know and love that, right? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future, right? We all love that verse. We have the sticky note on our windows. We have our tattoos of it, right? But Daniel knew that before we get to that, we must first come before the Lord and repent, right? Daniel didn't take this word from God and celebrate and cheer and like, yeah, let's go. Woo, I can't wait. No, he realized the extent of his sin and the sin of his people. And so he didn't wait. He didn't wait for that redemption to come. He took a moment now of intentionality to turn to the Lord God and plead with him in prayer and petition. Right? Because God's promises are good and true. They're a yes and amen. We need to do our part, right? What does it say in Jeremiah? It says to call on me and come and pray to me. Seek me with all your heart, right? God, we know God will do his part. He can't deny himself. He will do his part. But he's waiting for us to do our part sometimes. We need to take that first step towards him, right? And that first step is with prayer and petition, in fasting, and repentance, right? And I love how we see the same pattern of prayer that Pastor Brian's been highlighting over our Teach Me to Pray series. If you're doing the 21 days of devotions he's been doing, A, if you're not doing it, you need to do them. They're fantastic. They're short and concise, and they're so insightful, right? Fusionchurch.cc/prayer. There's still time. We just started week two today, so get on the list. But we're seeing the same pattern of prayer that Pastor Brennan is talking about during our series, the same pattern that Jesus modeled through teaching us the Lord's Prayer, right? This model of praise and thanksgiving, of prayer, of request and petition, and praise and thanksgiving again throughout Daniel's prayer here, right? And this prayer is so profound. It's beautiful. It's honest. It's a heart-wrenching prayer of both honor and praising God for who he is, his character, and also grief. Grieving what his ancestors have done, what he has done, what he's, you know, been a part of, what Israel's lost, right? It's a prayer of both promise and repentance. Because you can have more than one emotion in a prayer. It's okay to praise God and also be crying out in grief. I've had those prayers myself when I'm praying, God, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you're faithful. Thank you that you're at work in the situation, but this situation still sucks. Like, this situation is still painful, God. Thank you that you're moving and you're alive and I can trust you, but right now I don't like this. And he's a big God. He can handle both. You can have more than one emotion in a prayer, right? As we kind of dissect this prayer here, in verse 13, Daniel says, just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring disaster on us. The Lord our God is righteous in everything he does. Yet we have not obeyed him. See, the Lord cannot and will not deny himself or go back on his word. What he said he will do or what will happen is what will happen. And thankfully, he gave us his word as a preview, right? Even Daniel, he didn't know what was going to happen. But you can look back at Jeremiah and the scriptures, where God gave a prophetic word, a preview of hope for his people, right? That Daniel is now reading. And not just Daniel, right? But we have hope. We can go to God's word and see Jesus give promises. Jesus gave his disciples then a warning. Hey, this world's going to be hard, but take heart, I've overcome the world, right? We go to the book of Revelation at the end of the Bible. As we come closer and closer to the end times, whenever that is, right? We can take hope and we have a preview of what's to come in the book of Revelation, right? Not to scare us, not to give us anxiety or fear, but to give us hope, to give us confidence. And say, Jesus, this world looks really bad right now, okay? But I can trust your word. I know you're coming back. I don't know when. I'm not going to pretend to know when. Only the Father knows that. But I can trust that no matter how bad this world gets, you are coming back to redeem it. Amen. And we can't just sit there as we read this and read Daniel and read all the sins he's calling out, all the ways the Israelites have messed up over the last 70 plus years, right, of disobeying God, of not following him, right, since the time of Moses, right? We can't sit there and we can't, or here right now, and judge them, right? We can't just sit here and judge the Israelites, because if we're honest, we are no better now than they were then, okay? Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. If we look in the world we live, over not just the last week, but for weeks and months and even years, right? How much disaster and division and death have we seen in our country and in the world because of not seeking the Lord's favor and truth? And it's hard to admit that, right? It's hard to say that, you know, oh, these Israelites, oh, they were doing this, doing that. I'd never do that. We would never do that. And yet, here we are as a culture, right? So full of disaster and weather disasters and personal disasters, and just everything going on in the world, right? And division and death and sin and evil, right? And yet, can we say as a nation, can we say as individuals, not even a nation, but just God's people, are God's people truly turning and seeking his favor and his truth? Because remember, this word and this prophecy wasn't given to the Babylonians or to the Persians. It was given to God's people. This command, this declaration to come to me and seek me and turn to me. This isn't for the non-believers. We can't wait for non-believers or expect non-believers to move toward God and seek his favor and his truth. If we as his people are on seeking him and his truth first. Like Pastor Brennan said, we need to live lives that look different. When people see us, when non-believers especially see us, we have to be people who are leading by example and living by example. And that's what's going to make people turn to God. When we seek his favor, we seek his truth. And not just seeking it out, but can I be so, can I challenge us by living out his favor, his truth? Like we prayed about, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, not my kingdom. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, right? But what does that take? It takes, we see here Daniel by leading by example. Daniel has humility. Daniel has faithfulness. Daniel has repentance, right? Three words that people, or I'll be honest, I'll confess myself. I'll speak in the eye, right? I have trouble with humility and faithfulness and repentance. It's challenging, right? And that's what makes Daniel's prayer, again, so powerful, is that he will humble himself. He'll call himself out first, right? And repent. And we see here in verse 15, Daniel prays, now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. He goes down to say that our sins and the iniquities of our ancestors have made Jerusalem and your people a scorn, an object of scorn to all those around us. So it's not just his sins he's calling out, but he recognizes the sins and the iniquities of our ancestors. It's not just our sins we need to repent of sometimes, but the sins of our ancestors and our families. We call generational sin patterns, right? And that's the importance of doing freedom and soul care and emotionally healthy, right? These connect groups are so, so crucial because these connect groups teach us this and give us time and space and community to process generational sin patterns so we can repent of them, so we can understand them, so we can find forgiveness and healing and be set free from these. Again, shameless plug, if you haven't already, get into a connect group this fall. We have freedom groups. We have 17 freedom groups, okay? There's a freedom group for you. We even have a Spanish freedom group too, a male and female. So get into a freedom group. Get into a soul care group. Get into emotionally healthy spirituality. Learn about these generational sin patterns in your life so we can find breakthrough from them. Amen? And he goes on to say in verse 18, give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. I love that. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous. For your sake, my God, for your city and your people, right? Guys, prayer is less about us than we think it is, okay? Prayer is less about us than we think it is. It's always about pointing ourselves or others back to God. It's his righteousness, his mercy, his grace, his love. Because our own faithfulness is really faithlessness. Our righteousness is filthy rags, right? Compared to him. Prayer is about exalting him, not ourselves. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. See, all throughout this, all these promises Daniel is praying, he's really reminding himself in this situation. He just needs to remind God. God knows who he is, right? God's not going to forget who he is. But Daniel's reminding himself of God's promises and God's faithfulness. And he prayed that he would not only act, but act quickly, right? Pastor Brennan had a great devotion he sent this morning out as we continue on our 21 days of prayer devotions. And his devotion this morning was on Your Kingdom Come. And his devotional thought he has here is, when we pray Your Kingdom Come, we're asking for God's rule to break into our world. His kingdom brings healing, peace, and justice, starting in us and flowing through us, right? Here's a quote here by George Eldon Ladd, which says, the kingdom is already here, but not yet fully. See, so we're praying for God's kingdom, as Daniel was praying here. God, listen. Lord, forgive. Hear and act, right? He's praying for God's kingdom, which already is here, to come on earth as it is in heaven, to come in justice, to come in healing, to come in peace, to come in mercy, right? And so Pastor Brennan's action point, I love this action point for us today too. Pray today for God's kingdom to advance in our communities, in our schools, our workplaces, our families, our neighborhoods, right? Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. And all that begins again with repentance. So our application question number two is, what do I need to repent of today? How can I more fully embrace the mercy and love of God through my own humility, repentance, and dependence on Him? Amen. All right, this last portion here, the 77s. So I don't have time to go through the entire prophecy. I'll try and get quick a few points for this long prophecy, right? And so verse 21, it says, while Daniel was still, he was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in an earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. So while Daniel was still praying, God was sending an angel to answer him, right? So like Pastor Brand spoke this message over the past weekend, he talked about how God sent angels to strengthen Elijah and strengthen Jesus through prayer, right? We know now as Christ followers, we have the Holy Spirit within us now to strengthen us, to give us understanding, to bring revelation and insight when we pray. Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14. He says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to come help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. The advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So we are Christ followers and we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. We can be like, we don't need to wait for an angel to come, right? We have the Holy Spirit as we pray for wisdom, we pray for insight, we pray for breakthrough. We pray for knowledge and understanding and peace in our lives, with the lives of those around us, right? Those people come and do that because of Jesus, because of the gift he gave us from the Father. And yet, the importance here we see from Daniel is not just praying, but inviting the Holy Spirit into those moments of prayer to guide us and making space to listen to him. When the angel came to Daniel, he stopped what he was doing and he listened to the angel, right? Or are we stopping long enough to listen to the Holy Spirit and let him guide us? Or are we finishing our prayer, pleading and petitioning, and then moving on throughout our day, right? So that's what Pastor Brandon's been encouraging as we go through a 5 minutes of prayer time. The last at least 2 minutes is just silence. Let the Holy Spirit speak. Let God meditate on God's word and see what he highlights, right? A short overview of the prophecy. In ancient Hebrew, weeks simply refers to a number of a unit of seven, right? So it's not actually 7 days, but it also can be a period of 7 years. That's what this is referring to here. How these these 7 weeks, the first segment, is actually 49 years. And we see that the restoration of Jerusalem took that those times of the year, right? That begins in the book of Ezra. The 7 weeks and 49 years is when Ezra and the people were released from captivity, went back to Jerusalem, and began restoring the city. The second segment, the 62 weeks, is actually 434 years. And so we're seeing this whole time period, right? 483 years total, the 7 plus 62 weeks combined, right? And at the end of these 62 weeks, once Jerusalem was restored, many scholars believe that that actually is to the day, the time when Jerusalem, when Jesus had his triumphant entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. So we're seeing how Daniel was never going to live in the time of Jesus. And yet he's still seeing this prophecy from Jeremiah. He's in the middle of living out, and it's still going to be fulfilled through Jesus years and years and years to come, right? And then this last period, the 1 week, is 7 years. It's a period of covenant, of abomination and division, and eventual destruction, right? It mentions about this coming prince who many believe will be the Antichrist, who will come and confirm a covenant with many for 7 years. He'll put an end to God's ways, he'll put an end to sacrifice and offering. And at the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation, causes division, right? Go against who Christ is. And yet, he'll confirm a covenant with many and bring distraction, and bring division, right? And so we as Christ followers need to be praying for eyes to see, ears to hear, for wisdom, for guidance, right? So whether that 7 years is in our lifetime or in a lifetime to come, right? Praying now that God, let that not be my story, let that not be my family's story. Let us not find ourselves being confirmed by wrong covenants, but by no covenant other than yours. Amen. And so, as we close out this third application question, as we look at Daniel and how Gabriel spoke to him, our third question is, how can I make more intentional time or space to invite the Holy Spirit to speak and bring revelation into my life? Amen. All right. Our three questions as we close out today again. How can I not just join the Zoom or listen to a podcast, but really read, meditate, and pray through God's word throughout my day? Pray the promises, right? Like Daniel did. Question two, what do I need to repent of today? How can I more fully embrace the mercy and love of God through my own humility, repentance, and dependence on him? And question three, how can I make more intentional time or space to invite the Holy Spirit to speak and bring revelation into my life? Amen. Oh, dear God, thank you for your word. God, thank you for your Holy Spirit you've sent, Jesus, to be your advocate, to be your counselor, to be your guide. Holy Spirit, I pray during this rest of our day, the rest of this week, Lord God, keep speaking your words of truth, of love, of mercy, of encouragement, of challenge, of conviction. God, help us to be an example for you through our prayer lives and through the lives that we lead and we live, Lord. Help us to draw others closer to you. Let us not get caught up in our own sins, but God, let us come to repentance. Let us humble ourselves before you in your great mercy and love. And God, guide us to lead love, to lead lives that are holy and blameless before you. So others may not see just us, but others may see you through us. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen. Amen. All right, church, have an amazing rest of your day. Take care. God bless. We'll see you soon. Keep praying.